Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
I want to thank
God is the one and only true living God, the creator of heaven and the universe. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ.
I agree, Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe in that.
Both as an American and as a Christian, I am going to stand with Israel.
Their theology, in part, is disregarding their Christian brothers and sisters. I met some of these Palestinian Christians and got to know them. They're delightful people, and they feel totally overlooked by their Christian brothers and sisters in the U.S.
Honestly, I think 30 years from now, it's the marriage redefiners who are going to look like knuckleheads.
I'm Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And I rock Issues Etc. the whole way.
Presidents speak all the time, every day. They have cameras and microphones facing them. Sometimes their comments are off the cuff. Sometimes they are formal speeches. Recently, President Barack Obama made a significant speech to the Congressional Black Caucus, and he had a lot of remarkable things to say. What got reported, however, was him telling the Congressional Black Caucus to stop whining and to press on. But there was more to that speech, and the press apparently didn't catch it. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to kick off this hour, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. We're going to talk about media coverage of President Obama's speech to the Congressional Black Caucus. And a little bit later, a new Pew Forum research poll that shows that public opinion of the media is not very good, but you didn't read much about it in the media. Now, did you? A little bit later, we're going to kick off part one of a six-part weekly series on biblical chronology. Today, we're going to start with time and the Christian faith, how they're bound together, and how time was measured in the ancient world. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Nice to be here.
We all heard the line. It was repeated over and over again. Stop whining. Move forward. You say that, by and large, the media missed the better portion of that speech. What did they miss?
Well, it was interesting that the speech was almost entirely couched in religious terms, and many of the media reports that wrote on the speech completely missed that. The way that President Obama tried to rally this base of his was by comparing his situation favorably to the situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's a story we all probably remember about men who were willing to sacrifice quite a bit rather than worship a false idol. And so he appealed to the faith of these Congressional Black Caucus members and supporters by telling this story and sort of comparing it favorably to his situation and their need to remain hopeful in things that they haven't yet seen and belief in a better day. So it was just full of religious imagery. That was the entire hook. That was the framing device he used, and nobody mentioned it. And I find that absolutely fascinating.
Now, just in your casual observation of President Obama in terms of public speeches, the big ones that actually get the cameras pointing at them, does he wax religious? Does he engage in religious sounding rhetoric or references to the Christian scriptures more or less than his predecessors?
I would say he actually probably does it at around the same rate. I mean, you have people who do it slightly more than others and people who do it slightly less than others. But he seems to, in my opinion, he does it, he knows his moment. He might be addressing a religious audience and he brings out the religious rhetoric for that audience. Whereas if he's doing a foreign policy speech or something, he won't make quite so many allusions to scripture. That's the way presidents, and you know, Abraham Lincoln was the best at this, alluding to scriptural themes or words that people pick up on because it's part of our collective consciousness or whatnot. And he can do that too, even in a foreign policy speech, but he's actually quite clear and will speak openly about his faith given the moment. So when he addressed the National Prayer Breakfast last year, he was very open about his faith, his Christian faith. When he held a pre-Easter breakfast last year, he gave actually what I thought was a quite beautiful confession of Christian faith. If he's talking about teachers or something, you might not get so many references. But when he does speak about his faith, the media almost always ignore it. And I think that it's because it doesn't fit into their template they have of, oh, those wacky Republicans care about religion and Democrats are better and secular and they don't. And so they reinforce that template that they have in the way they choose to cover Republicans and the way they choose to cover Democrats. So if you're Michelle Bachmann, we all of a sudden get lots of stories about wherever she happened to be at church last week and what that pastor has said 2 years ago about some hot-button topic. But we don't get quite that coverage of a Democrat or President Obama.
So this isn't so much bias as it is, as you said, kind of the framework of thinking that goes into the basic journalism when covering a Democratic president as opposed to a Republican president or candidate or someone who's even out on the periphery of the presidential circle.
I think it's easier to write stories that fit a preconceived narrative that you have. I think that might be a problem. And I think that frequently the media are good at being critical of religious rhetoric, and they don't quite know how to do that with President Obama, and so they just would rather ignore it than bring it up.
On kind of a similar note, recently there's been some research into public opinion about the reliability, the veracity, the quality of the media, but I didn't read anything about it except on your blog. What's going on?
Yeah, the Pew Research Center for the People in the Press has surveys that they do regularly where they poll the public on their perception of the media, and they've been doing this for decades. And this year's results were not good for those of us in the media profession. Plurality of people said the press was immoral. Immoral. I thought that was particularly hurtful. And only 38% said that they thought that the press was moral. People were evenly divided on whether the media helps or hurts democracy. That's also pretty hurtful. And a solid two-thirds said that they thought the media were often inaccurate. They thought that news stories were often inaccurate. And that percentage is almost double what it was in 1985, when only 34% did. So those are some pretty negative perspectives on the media. And I do think it's funny that if this were a survey about the military or about the Catholic Church or something, you could imagine it being the hook for lots of stories about what's going wrong in these organizations or whatnot. But generally speaking, the media didn't cover it too much. Politico did pick it up, and the Washington Post has a media critic that did bring it up only to dismiss it. He thought it was no big deal at all.
Why do you think that is? Because we really are talking about an industry that has declined, at least in terms of the print journalism, severely in the last three decades. You're talking about newsrooms that have gotten much smaller and broadcast journalism that is now more often than not people standing around talking to each other rather than reporters actually on the scene reporting real stories, talking to real sources. Why a blind eye or a blind spot with regard to this?
I don't know. I think that it's, first of all, important to remember, too, that even with these negative views on the media, the public still considers the media a better way to get information than through other means. So that it's not all bad news on that front. But I think also reporters themselves and people in the industry themselves are having trouble adjusting to the new situation of what you meant, of what you mentioned, this decentralization and whatnot. But I actually think also it's true that this is not all necessarily bad news. I mean, decades ago, people didn't realize what they didn't know. They just thought that if the nightly news person said something, it was probably true. And now with the internet and with what's happening on cable, there are so many different perspectives you can get. And that helps you as a consumer realize that you should be a more skeptical consumer of news. And you should think about the way stories are presented. When you see the same story written about in a dramatically different way at one outlet versus another, it helps you become a more discerning news consumer. And I think that that's actually great, but it also shows you that it's going to have an effect of making you less trustworthy of the media in general. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think news consumers being savvy is generally a good thing, and it keeps reporters on their toes.
With about 30 seconds, do you think that the public opinion reflected in that poll is an accurate diagnosis of the state of the media today?
I don't quite know. I think that there's certainly many problems. I would like to know more about what readers thought when they said that we were immoral. I mean, that to me is I just need to know more information about it. But inaccuracies, yeah, there's no way we can deny that there are serious problems with bias and inaccuracy. And I would hope that reporters would just take this as a message that we need to be more careful and work on our reporting as we always do, and just strive to improve.
Do you think they're getting the reporters, newsrooms, editors are getting the message, even though they may not be reporting on that message?
I do. I think they get that message. I think that, as you know, they are suffering from constraints in the newsroom. You know, you're having to cover a lot of beats. It's really hard to get a story right, but they do understand and they do desire to get the story right in general.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to round off this hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 28th, starting a six-part weekly series on what I think is a fascinating subject. That is the chronology of the Bible. So much of the mischief in Bible scholarship is because they have an inaccurate, sometimes purposefully inaccurate, chronology. We'll start out talking about time in the Christian faith and how time was marked and measured in the ancient world. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest for the remainder of the hour. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. Bulletin Board Flyer, and print.